This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We are season six. This is already episode 15. Thank you for listening. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is once again presented by Hooters. And if you are located like me within the greater Tampa Bay area, originalhooters.com is your destination for easy online ordering. You just visit that website, originalhooters.com, click the order in orange icon in the upper right-hand corner. And it's very simple. If you choose to visit any of the Original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, they have their newest store, and it's spacious. It has a very nice outdoor patio, which is always popular with many of you. It is just a little west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54 in Odessa. So if you are located near Fox Hollow Golf Club, if you are in Trinity, even if you're in the Wesley Chapel area, there is a Hooters now conveniently located for you, and I think you will enjoy that newest location. Again, originalhooters.com for easy online ordering. This is the last call if you want to play in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League this year. We will be having one big draft night coming up at Bill Curry Ford, just like we did last year. Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, is a big supporter of mine and JoeBucksFan.com. He plays in my podcast league, and he even threw in a financial bonus last year for our champion, now a two-time champion, in Robert Wright, who's also a very loyal Todd Wright Tour golf supporter. That will exist again. There is no entry fee for a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. You must be able to attend in person. We do not do this online. We do not do it via Skype or Zoom or anything like that. I've always been old school with my drafts. I like seeing people. We will have full use of the showroom floor at Bill Curry Ford for our draft after the dealership is closed to the public. But I'm not giving you the date or time because I can't have you just showing up. So this is it. This is the last call. If you are interested in playing in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, I need to hear from you at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Send me your full name. Send me your phone number in case I need to follow up. I'll obviously have your email address to reply. And tell me about your fantasy football experience, how long you've been listening to the podcast, and anything else that might tell me a little bit about yourself, because I want to know about my players in the league. We are essentially at capacity right now, but there is a scenario, depending on how many more people I hear from, that we can add another league. So this is it. If you've been thinking about it and you want to do it, now's the time. If you wait, it's going to be too late, and you're going to have to reboot with me in 2022. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. I want to take this podcast to briefly explain to those of you that may be new to my podcast or forgot. In the prior 14 episodes, I often reference my scoring settings from last year to give you a reference point for the information from last year that I am applying as part of my research for 2021. And you hear me call it Todd Wright 21st Century Standardized Scoring, or Todd Wright Modernized Standard Scoring, or Todd Wright Adjusted Standard Scoring. So let me just explain to you what those are. And I'll go by position to tell you what I change that is a little bit different from what you may know as the numbers in most standard scoring leagues. You obviously already know why I don't play PPR, and I talked about that in a previous podcast. I never have played PPR in any of the leagues I commission, and I never will until the game evolves back to dominant bell cow running backs like Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, Chris Warren, It is now a passing league, and wide receivers do enough to justify their points based on yardage gained and touchdowns scored, where giving them the point per reception, or as I call it, point for nothing, should not apply. All right, so let's start with the quarterback position. A few years ago, as the game evolved more as a passing league, I knocked up the threshold for passing yards from 250 to 300 yards to earn 10 points. I just thought 300 was a better number for how the league has evolved. Also, I guess I should state, I do use fractions in my leagues. That's another reason you don't need PPR, because every play and the yardage gained will ultimately be a reward of points, or if there's yardage lost, a minus of points. So from the quarterback position, where most standard scoring leagues have a threshold of 250 yards to earn 10 points, or 1 point for every 25 yards passing, a few years ago, based on what we see on the field and how passing more dominated the game that we watch now, I bumped that up to 300 yards. I felt a 300-yard passing game was more equivalent to a 100-yard rushing game or a 100-yard receiving game than 250. It's a modest little tweak, so what it means is, in a fractional scoring league, if your quarterback throws a 30-yard pass, he's going to get a point for that. Now, obviously, in fractions, if he throws a 10-yard pass, he'll get 0.33. But for every 30 yards that your quarterback attains in a game, that will ultimately add up to 1 point rather than 25 yards. I have considered bumping that up even more to 350. I'm not going to do it this year in the podcast leagues, but 300 will remain the number. I may go to 350 next year because we have seen some ridiculous passing numbers from big-time quarterbacks, and I want it to be equivalent to where the running back numbers are for 10 points per game, where the receiving numbers are for 10 points per game. Now, you have to consider, the more it becomes a passing league, the more the wide receiver yardage might need to go up also. But I'm not doing that yet. But I have moved the quarterback number from, instead of 250 to earn 10 points for yardage, it's 300 to earn 10 points for yardage. Also, let's talk about the pick six. A very loyal supporter of mine, Sean, who works in downtown Tampa, brought something up to me, and I said, yes, I've done that for quite some time. I do employ the pick six penalty. I think it's only right. Again, I try to play a fantasy football game that mirrors what you see on the field, where there's less difference in what goes on in terms of what it means for you. If your player does something good for his team, you should be rewarded on your team. Similarly, if your player does something bad for his team, you should be damaged, which is why I have used a pick six penalty for some time. Now, many standard scoring leagues, and I still don't know why this is, only implement a 1 point penalty for an interception, which I think is ridiculous. So a long time ago, I bumped that up to a 2 point penalty for an interception. That is still in place. In addition, for a number of years now, I add a pick six penalty of minus two. The reason I add a minus two is because in most standard scoring leagues, quarterbacks get 4 yards for throwing a touchdown. Four. I know there are still leagues where quarterbacks get six. To me, that is too heavily weighted toward the quarterback. I've never used six. I don't think that's right. I think it should be four. Based on the overall numbers. I mean, just look at Aaron Rodgers and how many touchdowns he threw last year compared to how Alvin Kamara was worth 21 touchdowns. So you compare Rodgers' numbers in throwing to Kamara's. Now you're really throwing it off if you're giving Rodgers the same amount of points per touchdown passing as Kamara got for rushing or receiving, as it were. So the four to me works, which is why the pick six total penalty, minus two for the actual interception, minus an additional two if that interception is returned for a touchdown, you should lose as many points as you would gain if your quarterback essentially throws a touchdown for the opposing team. That's pretty simple to me. So the pick six penalty is a minus two on top of the interception being a minus two in my leagues, where you are given 4 points for every touchdown your quarterback throws. Your quarterback still gets 6 yards. 6 points if he rushes for a touchdown, and 6 if he catches a touchdown, like a Philly special type play, etc. All right, so I think that takes care of the quarterbacks. And no, I don't penalize for sacks. I never have. That's off the board as well. Every turnover basically is a 2-point penalty. Unless the quarterback throws a pick six, then it's 2 points for the interception, 2 points for the pick six. I do not do a scoop and score. So there's not an additional, say, 2-point penalty if a quarterback fumbles and it's returned for a touchdown. I could consider that in the future, but I'm not doing that at this point. It's more indirect to me, the scoop and score penalty, than it is the pick six penalty. All right, on to running backs. I don't really think, other than it's been so long. Like I said, fumbles are minus two in my league, no matter who you are. If a quarterback fumbles and it's a lost fumble, I don't penalize for a fumble that isn't lost because the team isn't penalized. His team is not penalized if he loses a fumble and he either falls on it or somebody else does. So all fumbles are a minus two. I don't think I adjust anything with running backs. It's pretty straight up. 6 for a rushing touchdown, no matter who you are, and you get 1 point for every 10 yards gained, and those are fractional points. So if, for example, let me just pick a random running back here. Jonathan Taylor gains 4 yards on a run. That's worth 0.4 points that's worth 0.4 points in my fantasy football leagues. So I think that stays pretty standard. Again, using the fractionalized scoring, which to me eliminates the need for PPR. Running backs also receive the same points for yardage via the air as their wide receiver or tight end counterparts. Wide receivers and tight ends. For my, as I talked about in the previous episode, wide receiver / tight end flex position, they get 6 for a receiving touchdown, or in the case of a wide receiver who is going to get occasionally some rushes, like a Tyreek Hill, maybe a Deebo Samuel, as another example, who would get a chance to actually run the ball. It's worth the same 6 for a rushing touchdown, but 6 for a receiving touchdown and a point for every 10 yards fractionalized by the play. So if a receiver, let's pick a name, DK Metcalf, catches a pass for 21 yards, Metcalf earns 2.1 points for that play. It's basically 0.1 for every piece of positive yardage. And if he scores on the play, if he scores on a 21-yard touchdown, he earns 8.1 yards for that. Same with the tight ends, even though I talked about how tight ends are flexed only with wide receivers. They are not mandatory in any of my leagues. Which brings me to kickers. I know DraftKings, and I'm not sure about FanDuel because I've never played FanDuel. Some of you know the story about me with DraftKings. It's now, about four or five years ago? DraftKings ran a deal where they would double your deposit. So I threw $20 in a DraftKings account. They doubled it. I have never put any more money in the account. I'm still playing off that original deposit and their bonus. It has grown exponentially, because I not only play fantasy football, I play fantasy golf. I played some fantasy NASCAR a couple of years ago. I don't do that anymore, and I play fantasy hockey. So I've been fortunate. I've never technically lost money playing on DraftKings, so I have no reason to start an account with anyone else, unless FanDuel comes along and wants to sponsor this podcast, and then I'll be happy to do so. All right, so DraftKings, for as long as I've been playing DraftKings, there are no kickers. They got rid of them a while ago, and I know some of you play in leagues that got rid of kickers. I honestly have no problem with that. I'm not going to argue that you have to have kickers. I get it. So give me my tight end argument, whether you use my information or not, and I'll give you your kicker argument, which I choose not to use because I do like having kickers in our league with, and I know this sounds like a Big Bang Theory episode, what I did years ago called the Matt Prater adjustment. And more than anything else, it's a tip of the hat to Matt Prater, who for years was kicking for a shitty team in Detroit, and he would do his job, and the Lions would still lose. So I just kind of thought about, there was a game where, I forget if I won or lost the game, and my opponent had Matt Prater. And Prater, in this game that the Lions lost by double digits, Prater had two field goals of over 50, two field goals of over 40. He actually missed an extra point in the game. And he also, and I think he also missed like a 33-yarder. It was an odd game. And I looked at it. So my opponent got five for every field goal over 50, four for every field goal over 40, and was not penalized for the missed extra point or the missed field goal of whatever it was, 32 yards. And I look down and I see that Matt Prater was worth 18 points, more than just about anybody else on his team except his quarterback. And I thought, this isn't right. Why should field goals be worth more than three? They're only worth three in the NFL. Why shouldn't a kicker be penalized for missing kicks? So the Matt Prater adjustment was born. Not within that year. That wouldn't have been fair to all my owners. We started it the next year, and I think it works very well. Here's the Matt Prater adjustment in my leagues. Every field goal, regardless of length, is worth 3 points. Every field goal is worth three. Doesn't matter if it's 20 yards or 66 yards. It's a 3-point field goal, just like in the game you watch. Now, here's where I give you back the, well, shouldn't a field goal be worth more, as they are in many leagues, if they're over 40 yards. What I do instead is I penalize every kicker who misses from 39 and in. If a field goal kicker misses from 39 yards and in, it's a minus one, not a minus three. Or is it a minus three? It's a minus one, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's a minus one. I'm sorry. I had to think about it. It's been a while. Yeah, it's a minus one if they miss from 39 and in. So I give no bonus for a field goal of 40 or more, but I impose no penalty on a field goal of 40 or more. Minus one on any miss from 39 and in, but all field goals are worth three. And on extra points, which we know have become more volatile when the NFL made them basically 33-yard extra points, every extra point is worth 1 point if made and minus 1 point if it is missed. So that is the Matt Prater adjustment. To me, it is a more accurate representation of field goal kickers and their impact on fantasy football. It lessens the total points a kicker can have. It also brings in an accuracy factor, which kickers are held accountable for their misses without going overboard. You know, I'm not penalizing minus three for every missed field goal from 39 and in. I'm not doing that. It's a minus one. You're already pissed off because you didn't get the three. Then you lose one on top of that. And so it's almost like you feel you lost 4 points because you should have made the kick. But it's a minus one for any missed kick, any missed extra point, or any miss within 39 yards. And my leagues do not use DST just because I came to the realization a few years ago, none of us watching fantasy football go out of our way to root for team defenses and to root for defensive or special teams touchdowns. It's very random. It doesn't happen. And you also take out the element of the stupid touchdown at the end of a game when an opponent knows they're going to lose, so they run hook and laterals or are throwing the ball backwards, and the opposing defense just falls on it in the end zone for a meaningless touchdown, and much like it leads to a bad beat on the Vegas spread, I don't want it to lead to a bad beat in fantasy football. So I do not use DST at all. There, as best as I can explain it, I don't think I left anything out, is what I use for all my leagues, and I call it Todd Wright, either 21st century, adjusted or modernized standard scoring. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember, in the greater Tampa Bay area, for easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com. And remember their newest location with the wonderful outdoor patio. It's a huge new space just a little west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.